How many like tests? Anybody here like tests? Cool. I'm going to test y'all just for a second. This is a test, not a test of the emergency broadcasting system, but this is definitely a test. Now, if you're on the front row, you're good. Like Jody, would it be on the front row? Right there, right where I can spit in it. If you do me a favor, and if you're in the back, would you move up? Let's move closer, please. Let's just get closer. Everybody, if you can, move up. Just everybody. Not just back people, but everybody. Can you move up? Sweet. Yeah, just move up. Let's be closer. We're a family. I know. Let's get together at church and be separate. I love it. This is a test. Remember those words. What is this? This is a test. If you're able, can you move up? Awesome. You guys are doing well. How's it feel up here? It's awesome? Weird? A little vulnerable? Spitting distance? Dude, I'm so glad you're there. So many words, so many jokes, so little time. Great job. I'm impressed. Very cool. Good. You ever seen a child and a parent in an argument at like a store at a Walmart or the mall or something? And there's this conversation going on between them. And it's kind of works like this. There's requests from parents. And then there's what? Denial of request. Right? And then there's assertion of a request from parents. And then there's what? Denial again. Yes. It's like, I want you to, but I want to. No, I want you to, but I don't want to. I said, and then what happens? It begins to get tense. It escalates. And then what finally happens when the parents had enough of the child's rebellion? And there's no other debate going on. What's the parent usually say at this point when he or she pulls out all stops? Fine. So that parent gives in. So you're not the parent that gives in. You need to work on not giving in, by the way. Fine, go ahead, right? What if the parent doesn't want to give in and they don't have any words and they're just exhausted? But what do they say? One, two, or have you ever heard this phrase? Because I said so. Anybody ever pulled out because I said so? Thank you for that confession. Yeah. And it doesn't have to make any rhyme, reason, or sense. It's simply because I said so. But because I said so. But I don't. Why? Why? You know, the kids, they're so smart these days. I hate them. I mean, Christian love, of course, you know. But they're smart. And so they like it. I hate when a 6-year-old can out debate me, right? But so then when the parent in their frustration has to pull out, because I said so. Just do it because I said so. Family Circus is a popular cartoon caption. Looked and looked. My internet's been down. But on Family Circus, there's this little saying where the little boy gets in trouble, as he always does. And he has to go sit in the corner. And he's sitting there in the corner, and the captain says this: I may be sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside. You ever haven't seen a child do that? Right? They may be sitting down on the outside, but they're standing up on the inside. The rebellion that can happen inside of us. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Romans chapter 13. Romans 13, Paul has been talking to this church that he did not start, but he's getting ready to visit. And don't forget where Romans is located. It's in Rome, Italy. And Rome, Italy is the epicenter of the universe at this point. It's the most powerful nation on the planet at its time. It has all the wealth, all the power, all the prestige, all the aristocracy, all that going on. And there's this group of Christians that come along and they're saying, do not bend the knee to Caesar, bend the knee to Jesus Christ as sovereign Lord. Because the idea in Roman culture is that Caesar is sovereign. What he says goes. And nothing else comes above him. Gospel promotes a whole different idea that there is a kingdom, not of this earth, and that king is Jesus, and all other kingdoms must submit to him and his ways. And so, in the midst of that, as Paul and the other people, all the early church is espousing this, then Rome gets her, you know, kind of ears bent back and begins to persecute the Christians and say that you're trying to create a rebellion and uprising. And so, as Christians, sometimes that's happening to go, well, the kingdom of heaven is about Jesus and his power, and he's going to come in and take over, just like the disciples thought when Jesus walked on the planet. But Jesus kept saying, no, the kingdom of heaven is within you. And we're overcome evil with good. That's what he just gets done saying at the end of chapter 12. Our rebellion or our revolution isn't a rebellion against people. It's a rebellion against sin. And we're having a revolt against evil, not against other things. We're going to have a revolt against evil, and we're going to win by the way we love other people. And he says, let's start first by being a church that loves each other, because you have the Jews and the Gentiles that don't like each other so much. The Gentiles think that they get the new and living way. They're the up-and-comers that have come in by the grace of Christ. And then you have the Jews that have the old ways to go, well, we're of the descendancy. Christ is of our family lineage. And we follow the law. And Paul's going, forget about all that stuff. We're all here by grace. We're all here by the mercy of the Lord. How about we start by loving each other? And he's been espousing this theology for the first several books of Romans. And now, as 13, he now turns towards issues beyond the church walls, because Christianity has to live not just inside the sanctuary, but outside. And it has to breathe and move and live out in our communities. And Paul is really challenging now this early church. How do we not only be Christ-like in the Christian world, how do we be Christ-like in the secular world? And that's a challenge. And remember the mindset when he begins to speak, that this is a society that hates Christians. And this is a society of power. And the authorities, if they can, they will beat you down. The week before we went to Haiti, I was reminded, and Gary Wright called me and said, don't forget where you're going. You're going to Haiti. And every time you leave the United States, you no longer have the freedoms and privileges of an American citizen. The week before we got there, right in front of one of the orphanages, a guy was riding his four-wheeler, and he did something wrong. We don't know what happened, but the police drug him off the four-wheeler, beat him, and then he said something else to one of them, and they shot him in the head, right in front of some of the orphans and the pastor. And then one of the pastors, who was with one of our pastors, began to chew the police out. And so they beat him and they took him off. And no one's seen him since. We forget how free we are. Now imagine that culture and that society where if they want to drag you off your chariot, walking down the street, they can pummel you. And if they want to, they'll kill you anytime they want. In fact, they have been. Now listen to Paul's words as he speaks to this church. Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Wow. Everyone must submit. That ruffles our feathers a little bit as U.S. citizens. Liberty and justice for all. Paul tells this early church, everyone must submit. Submit, the Greek word is somanoi. And the somanoi means let be subject to. Let be subject to. Meaning, you're not over them, you're subjects of. Imagine now, these are the people that will kill you if you get out of line. These are the people that aren't righteous, thoroughly secular, and don't care about God whatsoever. And what's Paul asking them to do? I want you to be good citizens. How does one feel when one is told, you must? It kind of goes against our nature. Whether it be Democrat or Republican, you submit to those in authority over you. Listen to what he says. Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there's no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and he will commend you. For he is God's servant to do you good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword for nothing. He is God's servant, an agent of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Note, by the way, the mentality is, hey, maybe we're to be the uprising. Maybe we're to be the new revolt against this secular way and the hedonism of our culture. And let's rise up and bear arms. And Paul goes, wait a minute. Easy. If these guys are in charge, they've been set in authority by the Lord. Every one of our presidents of the United States puts his hand on the Bible, still the Holy Bible, and he raises his hand to God. And he makes oaths and vows, not just to this nation, but to God. You don't have to agree with them. You don't have to like their theology. You don't have to like their policies. You don't have to like their politics. You don't have to like their philosophy. But what you do have to do is submit to them. To the police. To the governors. To our leaders. To our president. They're our president. They're our leaders. They're our policemen. Oh no, they are God's. Because that's what the Bible says. It's not something that I go, oh, I made this up. It's pretty clear, isn't it? This means yes. This means no. Is there anything not clear about that? That God, whatever authority is established, God did? Can you find any disagreement with that? Now it's serious, isn't it? For he is God's servant to do you good, but if you do wrong, be afraid. This is a culture that walks around with Roman centurions, and if they don't like you, they pull out the sword and start hacking away. And Paul, even in the midst of that, we don't have that, by the way. You know, even our police are subject to videotapes and things like that. But even at that, this is, don't forget the culture where these Romans have no videotapes and they can start whacking away on you if they want. And Paul still says, you submit. You be subject to. And it goes against the nature of how we are as citizens. They all raised their right hand with oaths, at least here in America, before God. They didn't even raise their right hand with oaths to God in Rome. And he says, I still put them there. Make no mistake about that. Now he's going to escalate. Remember when Jesus was preaching on the Sermon on the Mount and he goes, they're asking about all these different theological questions and he says, oh yeah, well you, the Bible says, you know, the Old Testament law says, do not commit adultery. Well, Jesus said, I'm going to take it a step further. If you look at a woman with lust, you've committed adultery in your heart. I tell you that your Old Testament law says an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, right? Let's make everything equal. I say to you, if you look at your brother with hate, you've murdered him in your heart. Jesus is saying it's a kingdom of conscience, so not at all. Now listen to what Paul says. Verse 5. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment. That's why they don't bear the sword for the ghost. Like, look, if you get out of line, they got a sword, and you might want to just march. If they tell you, if a Roman centurion says, get over against the road, against the wall, you get over against the wall. Why? Because they got a sword. That'd be a good idea. But not because of possible punishment, but be also because of conscience. Now he's tapping into what Jesus said is, this is a kingdom of conscience. Not because they have a sword for punishment, because you want to represent in a different way. And you want to overcome evil with good. That's the fight. That's the battle. It's not about rebellion. It's about a revolution. And the revolution starts inside. The kingdom of heaven begins within. Hard to submit because of conscience, isn't it? Think about that just for a moment. I got to submit just because I feel like it inside. Remember the story in 1 Samuel chapter 13? 1 Samuel 13, I'm just going to tell you the story about it. But Saul, the Philistines are getting ready to attack, and they got chariots and thousands of soldiers, and they're getting ready to come. And Samuel tells Saul, go prepare the sacrifice, because you always have a time of worship before the battle. And you offer a sacrifice to the Lord, so you have the blessing of the Lord. And Samuel goes, hey, I'll be there in a week. So get it ready, and I'll show up in a week. Don't fight, don't sacrifice or anything until I show up, and then I'll bless it. Because Old Testament law is only the priest could offer the sacrifice to the Lord. Saul paces around after a week now has gone by, and daggone preacher's late. Not that that ever happened, right? But the preacher's late, and that happens once in a while, by the way, right? And he doesn't show up, and now it's time for the battle. You know, the Philistines are coming, and Saul's like, well, you know what? I want the blessing of the Lord. I'm going to go sacrifice. And he lights the sacrifice, and right after that, guess who shows up? The preacher. Samuel shows up. He's like, I told you, do not do that. But, request denial. Request denial. Why not? Why can't I? Because I said so. Because this is the Lord's altar. Moses and the people are now, later, earlier on, before that time, Moses has rescued the children of Israel from Egyptian slavery of 430 years. Numbers records the story. They're in the desert of Zin, and they're thirsty. Chapter 20 of Numbers says that they're thirsty, and they're crying out to the Lord in rebellion, going, we should have gone back. We should have stayed in Egypt. We were dying out here in the desert of thirst. And Moses is mad. He goes, God, these are your people. And God goes, well, go tell the rock to bring forth water, and I'll give them something to drink. And Moses raises his staff and he says, all right, you guys want water? Have water. And the text says he hits it twice. And water gushes out, and they all get water. And then the Lord says to Moses, I told you to speak to the rock. And now, you'll never enter the promised land, Moses. This is your punishment. And Moses could have said, but I got water. These are your... And request denial on God because it's because I said so. And the Genesis 3 tells us that there's freedom. Complete freedom except for one thing. And what's that one thing? Don't eat fruit in the middle of the garden. The serpent comes along and questions that, and he says, don't you know that when you eat fruit in the middle of the garden, your eyes will be opened and you'll know like God knows? And Eve took and she ate some of the forbidden fruit, and she gave some with Adam, who was with her, right? And he ate. And God asked them what they have done. And they said, I told you not to eat the fruit just because I said so. They didn't get the knowledge or the awareness of why. After they'd eaten. Sad thing about this, we kind of look at Adam going, well, he was just standing there. Passive rebellion is still rebellion.
You hear me?
Passive rebellion is still rebellion. Adam didn't do anything. That's his passive rebellion. That is, I may be sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside. And I will follow her, not you. I will just passively, I'll be innocent. No, it's rebellion. You can come to this church. I show up. But I don't like how they spend their money. I'll show up, but I'm not listening to what they say because only God is my pastor. I'll show up, but I don't agree with that whole idea you got to submit to all the presidents. That's stupid. Therefore, I won't. Passive rebellion is still rebellion. I'm not going to follow the protocols here. Passive rebellion is still rebellion. It's just a sacrifice, Samuel could say, or Saul could say, but it's God's sacrifice. I just hit the rock, not spoke. What a minute detail. Because I said so. It's fruit. But it's my fruit. It's my rock. It's my sacrifice, the Lord says. And it's my authority. And if you treat it as anything other, then that's rebellion. He goes on. Now he's really going to meddle. Think about this. Thank goodness this isn't April 15th. Listen to this. This is why you also pay taxes, verse 6. For the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. Give everyone what you owe him. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. Paul is also addressing the fact that hey, we're not of Rome. We're of a new kingdom. We're going to give our money just to the king. And we're not going to pay our taxes so that we can give more to the church. You can justify it however you want. And Paul's going, no. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If you owe the church, give the church. If you owe honor, give honor. This isn't about us separating ourselves so much from the world that we are above them. We are still subject within it. You cannot be rebellious and proclaim to be a follower of Christ. Because even Christ said, whose inscription is on this? Caesar's. Give to Caesar what is Caesar's. Give to the Lord what is the Lord's. This is how we are to operate as Christians in our society, of our world. We're not to just hunker down and be our own little sect here and go fooey on the rest of the world. No, I must operate within it. And I chose to live here in this society. And I get all the benefits and the rights and the privileges of this society. Therefore, I will contribute to it. Same with the church. God has called me here, therefore I will contribute. All the rights and the benefits of it, therefore I will contribute. If you owe, owe. If you owe honor, give honor. If you owe respect, give respect. Paul says, pay your taxes. These are not my words, right? Who wrote this? God. Verse 8 says, let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. The commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet. And whatever other commandment there may be are summed up in one rule. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does not know harm to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. What's our complaint about the authorities? I didn't vote for them. You're not my president. You're only... What's the child's complaint when the babysitter's there? You're not my parent. You're just my babysitter. And how should the parent respond when they get home and they've been disobedient to the babysitter? If I told them, and if they told you, it's as if I told you. Now, if the babysitter is wrong, the parent will deal with the babysitter. But the child is to what? Submit to the babysitter because the babysitter gets authority from the parent. Same idea. God is our parent. And He's given us babysitters. But you're not my... It comes from God, according to this text. And we like to justify or explain a way around this text, around our rebellion. These are the reasons I don't have to. And Paul is forcing the issue, going, no, these are the reasons you have to. Perhaps, just maybe, the authorities are there just to test us, to see if we have hearts of rebellion or hearts of obedience. Ever thought about that? Maybe the authorities are there just to test us, to see if we have hearts of rebellion or hearts of obedience. It was just a piece of fruit, but it was God's fruit, and it was there possibly for a test. Hebrews 13:17 says this: obey your leaders and submit to their authority. Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. 1 Timothy 3:10 tells us about deacons. They must first be tested, and then if there's nothing against them, let them serve as deacons. Note that word, tested. That even in the church, we have this discipline of testing. You go, how do you prove? We've got to test you. Just like, you know, if a kid knows their spelling words, you got an empty blank sheet of paper and put them to the test. Not to demean them, but to see if they know. That's why Scripture tells us to test deacons. 1 Corinthians 3:13 says this: the fire will test the quality of each man's work. Trials and tribulations, fire tests us to see what's really there. And he goes on, whether it be wood, straw, hay, stubble, or gold and precious fine ornaments. Will, is this really pure and genuine or real, or will it be burned away? And then finally, Proverbs 17:3 says this: the Lord tests the heart. The crucible for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests the heart. And the last one is 1 Thessalonians 2:4. Paul says, we are not trying to please men, but God who tests our heart. That's the idea. That we're not here because of politics or whatever. I'm not here to espouse one thing or another. I don't want to do that at church. But what we are here is to honor the Lord. And He's the one who tests us. Test. What is a test? I want to briefly describe the difference between a test and temptation. Test is the enticement to do the right thing. So when you're tested, you get to say, hey, will you remember when Jesus was feeding the 5,000? He said, turned to the disciples and says, hey, you give them something to eat. And the text says, and He did this just to test Philip. He wanted to see where his heart was. He's hoping he'll do the right thing. This is like, hey, you know, those people are hungry. What do you think? He's not intending evil towards them. He's hoping that Philip will rise to the occasion. Temptation is enticement to do the wrong thing. Hey, why don't we go steal that guy's car? Steal that guy's wallet. That's the enticement to do the wrong thing. And the Lord sometimes puts us to the test because He wants to see who we are in our character. The question is, when it comes to authority and the government and all that stuff over us, the question is this: do you trust God? Do you trust God? Then if you do, you'll trust His authority. Right or wrong is not the issue here. It's about whether you'll trust God that He's got you no matter what they do or how they do it to you. Do not forget, Rome persecuted the Christians more severely than anyone. and the authorities in Rome are the ones who commissioned it. In fact, the authorities in the Romans are the ones who commissioned Christ's death. And he still submitted. And thank the Lord he did. Huh? Are we still making sacrifices today? If God is just, then we need to trust him. He goes on in verse 11. And do this, understanding the present time. The hour has come for you. Wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Because let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love each other. And then he goes on to go, hey, the night is nearly over, the day has come. This is, wake up! Come on, wake up and smell the coffee. Our life is right in front of us. Come on, people. You got to be Christian, not just inside the church. You got to be Christian outside the church. And if you don't get that, you're a sleepyhead. Live out loud what it means to be a follower of God. I may be sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside. You know what the Lord wants? He wants you to sit down on the inside too. He wants you to submit out of conscience, because we want to be followers of Christ. Not say, I'm exempt because I'm a Christian. I'm above American law because I'm of the kingdom of heaven. That's the issue here in Romans 13. Paul is reminding these believers, you're the kingdom of heaven, but God's kingdom of heaven also, may thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And you submit out of that conscience and that calling and that declaration that you will be a good citizen. And so don't start a revolt and rebellion this way, but you overcome evil with good and you love other people. That fulfills the law. You love the centurion. You love the Roman soldier. You love those people with the love of Christ. And maybe that's infectious. Maybe you'll sneeze on them. And they'll catch it too. But they will not catch it if you're rebellious or even passively rebellious. Live it inside the Christian community and live it outside in the secular community. That's our call as Christians. Put on your Jesus and go love people. Clothe yourselves with humility. Clothe yourself with Christ and go out of here and love people. Remember, I told you at the beginning of the service, this was the test. Think about that in the moment. You may have gone, I don't want to go up. I don't want to move forward. You guys did really good. Most of you. But it was just a test. Or you could just go, I don't need to move. I'm sitting right here. This is my spot. I paid for it a long time ago. No, that's God's spot, and your privilege is set there. Amen. And this is God's church. Amen. And I'm God's authority. And I ask you to move. And you were put to the test. You think I like saying that? Mm-mm. You think cops really like throwing people down on the ground, putting handcuffs on them? Mm-mm. But some of them got to. This was just a test to see if we're soft just because God said so. Test your own heart. Am I soft? Or every time someone asks me in the church to do something, do I rebel? I always go, no, I'm my own person. I do my way. Nope, I don't have to. Or are we soft? Because if we can't be soft, Jesus said it this way, John said it in 1 John, how can you love God whom you have not seen and yet cannot love your brother whom you have seen? God says it this way, how can you submit to me who you have not seen and yet you cannot submit to those in authority who you have seen and I put them there? This is what it means to be a Christian in this day and age. Do I agree with our policies? Do I agree with the direction of America? Absolutely not. That's not the issue. The issue is my heart soft? Am I willing to go, this is for the kingdom, not for my will, not for my stance, not for my way. This is for the kingdom because you said so. I will. Let's stand and say the Lord's Prayer together. And remember these words. You know, it's no fun for me to preach through books sometimes because I know what's coming. I knew at some point I was going to have to preach on Romans 1 and talks about homosexuality and all that stuff. You know the fear and trepidation I had that day. But it's no fun for me to talk as one in authority about submitting to authority. It's a weird thing. But that's why I like to preach through books of the Bible, because it keeps me accountable and I must submit. But I want you to think today about these words, because we say these every Sunday in our tradition as an act of worship, just like we take offering every Sunday. It's a tradition, but it's an act of worship. But this is about us talking to God who's in heaven, and we want His kingdom to come and His will to be done on earth. And it's a kingdom of conscience or not at all. And we have to learn to operate from the inside out to say, I march to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I want to express that at my home and my fellowship and to those around me. And I've got to be consistent as best I can. And when I'm not, I rely on the grace of the Lord. Amen? But beyond that, we're asking not to lead us into temptation, but thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. We are here to represent Him. And what this prayer is asking us, or asking the Lord to help us represent Him. Let's pray together. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. God bless you. Live it out loud this week.